WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day here today on this Wednesday as we together study the Word of God. You are tuned in to WGOD. God is always broadcasting. He always has a word for you every day. I'm so grateful that you've taken the time to tune into His frequency. The word you're going to hear today, we're going to snoop, break into a pastor's office. The pastor is the church at Ephesus, is the pastor of the church at Ephesus. We're going to read, we're going to break into his office proverbially, and we're going to read a letter that the Lord Jesus dictated to the Apostle John to hand carry to this pastor at Ephesus. He wrote 7 of them. This is the first one. This is what I want to look at here today, Wednesday and Thursday. Jesus' letter to the pastor of this church. Boy, what a famous church. What shoes you have to fill. From the Apostle Paul and them shedding tears and crying on the shores, knowing they'd never see his face again, to Timothy that Paul installed as pastor, to the Apostle John, who was the bishop there at the end of his life. Famous church. We're going to look at them now, some 30 years later after Paul founded this church. We're around the year 96 now, and we're going to hear from the Lord from this church what they're doing good, what they're doing bad, things they need to work on. So that's where we're at. Matter of fact, we'll let this opening play both days. But if it is Wednesday, stop and think. Wednesday, hey, point your car toward Island Community Church. We're meeting tonight, 6 o'clock tonight. We're in the Gospel of Luke chapter 17. We're rolling out the blackboard. We're going to have an awesome study in the Word tonight. You are invited, 6 o'clock. Island Community Church, 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. Love to see you. And we're looking at the parable of the 10 lepers. Well, not the parable. We're looking at the 10 lepers, amongst other things, as we go verse by verse through the entire New Testament. We're in the Gospel of Luke. Love to see you tonight. If it's Wednesday, I'm going to let this opening play on Thursday as well. I've called this sermon Priority Mail. The pastor at Ephesus.
We labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world and the offscouring of all things until now. And this is what an apostle looks like. Ever seen one of those? Look at this list of 12 things. They're last. They're condemned. They're public spectacles. They're fools. They're weak. They're dishonored. They're hungry. They got their clothes at a thrift store, not Savile Row. They're homeless. This sounds like our food pantry saints, doesn't it? This most closely resembles an apostle. Those that come here every other Saturday. Number 10, they're hated. Number 11, they're persecuted. And number 12, they are the filth of the world. And you're an apostle? An apostle was naked. As a general rule of thumb, I like to say an apostle was naked and homeless and had a bashed in head. That's how you spot one. And you're not going to spot one because they had to know the color of his eyes. And you're not going to find anyone alive anymore that can tell you that. Now, these were well-schooled in Ephesus. 30 years earlier, the pastor or the messenger of this church was a young man named Timothy. Right after this letter, the apostle John himself lived in Ephesus and ministered to people. All right, verse 3, more commendation. He said, "You have persevered and have patience, and you have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary." See, the Lord recognizes all the hard work that you do for his name. Paul wrote, "My beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Meaning you might not be rewarded here in this life for what you do, but you will be coming up in the next one. Now, Jesus is watching. And your labor is not in vain. Again, the Apostle Paul says, "Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart." Or another translation says, if we don't. If we don't faint, keep up the good work. Don't faint. Don't give up. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so each one will give an account of the things done in the body, whether good or bad. You will be rewarded for what you're doing here for Jesus, your work here. Okay, what are the Lord's complaints against the Ephesian church and the pastor here? Verse 4. He says, "Nevertheless, I've got this against you, that you've left your first love." So the first love was what or whom? It's him. He was the first love. That's the whole reason for their salvation. The point and reason for everything is Jesus. Remember? That's their first love. The whole reason for them being right with God is because of Jesus, lest we forget. Lest we forget. That's why we're here and why we're going to have this here this morning. Lest we forget. Lest we forget all that he did on the cross. Once a month we take the time and have the bread and the wine. He says, "This is my body which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now these guys have left this. This is the number one thing. This is why we're here. We are here to worship and give glory to God for what he did. By dying in our place on the cross, giving up his life, dying for us, the substitutionary death of Christ. The wages of sin is death. When I was the one worthy of death, for breaking God's laws, Jesus steps in, takes my penalty and punishment for me, and says, "Don't worry about that, Paulie. I'll take care of it for you." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's good news. And what's it worth to you? That's up to you to decide. I'm glad to hear that. All to him. Didn't we sing that song? Or was that in practice? All to him I owe. These guys had left that. Hear me now. If you're not careful, or if you are a lackadaisical guard, and if you don't guard your heart against this evil world, then the passage of time can lead you to leaving not only your first love, but your second love, your third love. You know who that could be? That could be your spouse. Dot, 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 fill in the blank. Your family. Because you let this world get in and chink away at the love that you have. Starts with him. He's first, should be first in your life. Your love for God should be first. If you get that right, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, comma, and all these things will be added unto you. Do you want your family right and everything right with your family? Keep him first. Your attitude of gratitude that Jesus died in your place. The perfect, sinless Son of God died in your place. When it should have been you up there on that cross. Keeping your first love vibrant requires work. Work on your part. Again, we observe the Lord's Supper here every month. And we'll do so here coming up in 5 minutes. I believe that helps if we do it rightly. But let's forever remember how we used to be BC and all that the Lord has done. Adrian Rogers says, if you don't love the Lord as much as you did when you first were saved, then you've backslidden. If you don't love the Lord as much as when you first were saved, then you've backslidden. The good news is you can change that here this morning. Make it right. Make it right when we partake of communion. That is, you take 5 minutes to yourself and you repent of dropping that ball. This is why he died. There's forgiveness in Christ Jesus for what you've done. It's never the end. As long as it's still today and as long as there's breath in your lungs, it's never too late to make it right. And this was the case here at Ephesus. Now in verse 5 comes the solution. Not from a self-help book, not from a friend, not from a mother-in-law, not from your best friend, but from the Son of God. Look at the first word in verse 5. What is it? Remember. Remember, therefore. That is, get along with God. Get alone with God and remember. That's why he had them erect stones of remembrance wherever they went, so that they wouldn't forget. It's so easy to forget all that God's done for you in your life. If you let this world chink away at that, get along with God. Remember all that he's done. Jesus says it. He says, remember, therefore, from where? W-H-E-R-E. From where you have fallen, remember? Do you remember where that used to be? Where you used to be? Where you used to stand? Where you used to go with your quiet time with the Lord? Where is your where? Remember and get back to that time. That's what he wants you to do. He even threatens you here. Look at that. Remember from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works. What does he say then? Or else. There's the threat. Or else. Make this thing right after all that I did on the cross, dying for you, and it cost you nothing, friend. Cost you nothing. Make it right. Or else. Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lamp. Uh-oh, he's talking to the pastor, remember? He's talking to the pastor. He's saying, Bub, if you don't fix this, guess what, Smedley? There's going to be 6 lampstands here, not 7. There's going to be 6 stars, not 7. He's talking to the pastor. make this right. Your church isn't serving me right anymore. This is a threat to the pastor. Make this right. Do what you do in my name and make it right, or else you're going to lose your lampstand. Have you ever been to a church where you don't experience the presence of God before? That's what it would feel like. That's why 100% of you keep returning here. Some of you don't even know it. Because the Lord's presence is experienced here. And he draws you in. He heals you. Am I right, Dwayne? Heals you. He works on you. He helps you with your weaknesses. He makes you strong. He does a great work in you for 70 minutes. And then you go out here and face this world. Remember. Let me finish his sentence. Repent. Do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and I will remove your lampstand from its place. Now he says that a second time. Unless you repent. So that's his encouragement. Remember and repent. Remember, he's dictating the letter to the pastor. He's the one who's just been corrected. Church-wise, perhaps it's like this. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Now, for Ephesus here, let's call this First Baptist Church, Ron, of Ephesus. And you walk into the foyer. And there in the foyer is a picture of our founder, the Apostle Paul. Then you see another picture that says our first pastor, Timothy. And then another picture says our current bishop, the apostle whom Jesus loved. How do you fill those steps? How's that for a reputation to maintain when your church is founded by Paul, John's the current pastor, and Timothy was the first pastor there? How do you do that? Jesus says, you've left that. How do you maintain that? Man, it's got to be, what a burden on this guy. But they had everything that they needed. Remember from where you have fallen. Remember how it used to be. And repent and make things right. Remember all the Lord has done for you, to you, through you. Remember. And go and get that back. That's my encouragement to you this morning. Remember and go and get that back. How do you do that? By doing something for someone else. Yeah, Steve. Steve, stand up there for a second. Steve, our deacon. You go talk to this man. This man's got a ministry with at the hospital, in hospice. He's the chaplain that represents Island Community Church. You want to get this back? Go talk to him. Maybe he'll take you to the hospital with him next time he goes back. Thank you, brother. There are things. Do something for someone else is how you get this back. That's the solution. Don't think about yourself. Think about someone else. Do something for someone else. I see so many of you guys, you're bringing in food to help people that don't have a loaf of bread. Doesn't that make you, it's okay to feel good for doing that. Because the spirit in you is happy when you do that. Go and do something for someone else. Or I challenge you to come in here on the food pantry. Ask Bob and Isabel if they can help you, or that you want to help them, and Les, and Dwayne, and Danny, and Scott, and everyone that works here, and Delilah, and everyone who works here at the food pantry. Come ask them that if you can help them, and come in here and help and serve the people that don't have a loaf of bread. And those are just some of my encouragements for how you can get this back if you've lost it. If this evil world has taken it from you, I encourage you, you get it back by serving him. And those are some of the ways right here in our own church by visiting sick people in the hospital with Steve and soon myself when I start joining him, and right here at the food pantry twice a month. Those are ways to get that back that I encourage you. Okay, and now he's going to give them one more praise before he puts his John Hancock on this. You know, I wonder what a John Hancock was before John Hancock. How does that work before 1776? What did he, you know, I or ego, I am. How do you do that? John Hancock. Man, that guy had a, what a selfish, wasn't he? He took up that whole declaration with one signature. John Hancock. I wonder how he signed this. I am. Okay, he says, but this you have, that you hate. Here we go with hate again. You hate all the evil that's going on around you. And now here's another thing he's happy that they hate. This you've got going for you. I'm in verse 6. That you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Wow, that's a strong word. Now, history has it, the Nicolaitans were offshoots of one of the very first deacons in the church. His name was Nicholas, and Nicholas turned into an apostate. That information comes from one of the ancient church fathers whose name was Irenaeus, back from 200 AD. Irenaeus wrote that the Nicolaitans were preaching compromise. That is, blending Christianity and occult paganism, such as worshiping Artemis, whose statue was right there in Ephesus, right down the street. Ask my wife, I come running out of the shower this morning, behold, we got an Artemis right down our street now too. Right? This spaceship here is named Artemis for the love of Pete. These guys are in trouble for worshiping Artemis that was right down the street. And you go out here with your binoculars, you look, and we have Artemis right down our street. I just found that as a funny coincidence, right? What are the odds of that? What are the odds of that? You can find Artemis with your own binoculars. Would it be all that far-fetched to say there's going to be 300,000 people that'll worship it? Maybe not a tank full of gasoline, but they worship the space program and what they hope that they find, right? Water on Mars to prove there's no God. Come on, fess up. You know this is what it is. You know this is what you're looking for. Water on Mars to disprove God. Let's be real. They certainly wouldn't do it the way they did it the last time they circled the moon. You know what they did when they landed and circled the moon? You know what they did? The same thing we're going to do right now. These guys had communion while they're circling the moon. That's what they did. Won't get away with that one today, will you? That blows me away, these guys taking communion. The first thing they did was take communion. She's going to go get them out of the other room, and that's what we're going to do here right now. Jesus hates it when Christians try to compromise in order to not be persecuted by the locals or by the government. Let me say that again. Jesus hates it when we compromise in order not to be persecuted by the locals and by the government, or compromise to get along with someone when the compromise by itself is evil or wrong, or compromise by allowing sexual immorality into the church in order to blend in with society. Jesus hates this. Out of his own mouth, he hates it. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And there it is. Finally, after thousands and thousands of years, the Bible, in its last book, offers once again a glimpse of the tree of life and shows us that it's still around after all these years. And the Lord gives us a promise. To him who overcomes this evil world, this tree of life is yours. You just got in here. She's clapping already. Hallelujah. All you have to do is cross the finish line in faith. Cross the finish line in faith. That's what's required. You're starting off in the faith? Yeah, right on, brother. Right on. 3 years old, he's going to have communion. And let's pray that he'll finish his work and this race in faith. That's all that's required of us, is to always say yes to him, to finish this line, finish this life, no matter the cost, in faith. And that is what this pastor's mail looked like.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
From Loveworth Finding Ministries, here's pastor, teacher, and author, Dr. Adrian Rogers, with a treasure from the Word.
God wants his sheep to learn how to get quiet and to lie down in the green pastures and to drink from the still waters. You know the reason why we're stressed? I'll tell you why we're stressed. Because we think our needs are not going to be met. We just say, oh, my goodness, I'm not going to have what I need. You remember that passage over there in Matthew where our Lord is telling us not to worry? He said, what do people worry about? He said, don't worry about what you're going to eat. That's food. And don't worry about what you're going to wear. That's fashion. Now, he's not saying these things are not important. But he said what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. These things don't even take on significance until you have your deepest needs met. You're to find, my friend, your satisfaction in him. And if you don't find your satisfaction in him, you're going to be stressed.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.
Of our dear Savior's birth.